Open your Bibles with me to John chapter 8. And the text is in the 12th verse. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. In this passage, the Lord apparently refers back to what he had said in the previous chapter. So therefore, when we read in this passage, then spake Jesus again unto them, we think he's referring to some of these things he said before. But this is a very remarkable statement. I am the light of the world, and he that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. So I preach on the theme, I am the light of the world, or Jesus is the light of the world. Now, the first thing we'll consider is the proclamation, I am the light of the world. Jesus proclaimed himself. He was saying to those Jews, I want you to recognize that I am the light of the world. And of course, if you think about that, no creature could ever make such a statement. No man, no angel, no creature of any kind could make such a statement, but the Son of God, who was in fact God incarnate, could say that because it was true. In fact, it would have been untrue if he hadn't told them that he was the light of the world, because he was the light of the world. He's the creator of this world. He's the one that created Adam and Eve. He's the one that put the human race on this earth. He's the one that created the angels. He's the one that done all these things, and therefore he is the light of the world. In the same sense that the sun is the light of this earth, and we get all that we depend upon from the sun. We can't grow a garden. We can't have warmth. We can't have light from any other source than our sun. If the sun went out, we would die. The whole earth would become as dead as the planet Mars, because we get all our life from the sun. The heat and the light, and everything comes from the sun to this earth. So when Jesus was saying, I'm the light of the world, he said, don't think that the sun is the light of the world. The real light, that's a physical light. And we get all the physical things from the sun. But he was saying, I am spiritually to you what the sun is to the world. Therefore, this statement reveals his divinity. Now, by saying that, we mean that Jesus is God. Let me turn you back to the book of Exodus, chapter 3 and verse 2. Third chapter of Exodus. And we will begin reading. I'm going to read the first verse so you get the context there. Exodus 3. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. That's Exodus 3:1. And now verse 2. And the angel of the Lord appeared in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses turned aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called him unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And then in the 14th verse, and God said unto Moses, Moses asked his name, did not know his name. What is your name? He said, if I go down there to tell your people in Egypt that I've been sent to deliver you, they're going to say, well, what is God's name? And here's the response, verse 14. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. God is eternal, has no beginning, has no end. And that's what that implies when he said, I am that I am. I've always been. I've always existed. When I was a little boy, I was out playing one day and the thought came to me, how is it that God doesn't have a beginning? And I run in the house to my mother and I said, Mom, how is it that God doesn't have a beginning? And my mother was a very practical woman. And she just slid her wedding, she had a small gold wedding band. She just slid it off her finger and held it down to me. And she said, show me the beginning of the ring, son. Well, I looked, but there wasn't any beginning. And she said, that's the way it is with God. Put it right back on her finger. And I went out to play. I learned a theological lesson from my mother that a lot of theologians don't understand. God has no beginning. Don't you believe those people that tell you that God is dead or that God got to start like we do. God is eternal. And in our text, Jesus Christ, and I want you to go back to John with me now. John 8 and verse 12. And I want you to note that Jesus spake again unto them saying, I am. That is an echo of the burning bush. I am that I am. I am the light of the world. Now, this statement of Jesus fulfilled many Old Testament prophecies. I haven't the time this morning to turn you to all of them, but I want to give you a couple of them. Turn to Malachi chapter 4 and verse 2. That's the last book in the Old Testament. Malachi 4 and verse 2. But unto you, Malachi 4, 2, but unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness, that's a prophecy of the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Righteousness, the source of all spiritual light, will arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves in the stall. And then again, in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2, Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, and upon them hath the light shined. Now that's a prophecy of Galilee. And that's where Jesus was raised. And that's what that prophecy pertained to, that Jesus was the light of the world. So we recognize then in the proclamation that Jesus was giving testimony to the Jews. I am the light of the world. Now in the second place, I want you to consider with me the nature of the light that was revealed in this light of the world. This light is spiritual light, not the physical light like that of the sun or of a lamp or of a candle. Jesus Christ is to the world spiritually what the sun is to this world physically. All the energy that we receive in this earth comes from our sun. We don't get it from anywhere else. and all the spiritual blessings and energy that comes to us in this world comes from Jesus Christ. Jesus is the light of the world. And that is why this light is visible only to those who have spiritual eyes. We can prove that because blind people see this light. It's not a physical thing. You can't see it with your physical eye. You can't touch it with your physical hand. You can't feel the rays of it with the flesh of your fingers. I can hold my hand up to a bright fire and feel the heat coming into my hands. And that feels good on these cold days, doesn't it? But you can't feel with your physical members spiritual heat or light. Now, we know that it's not a physical thing because people who are blind are able to see this light. Fanny Crosby was a great hymn writer, but she suffered blindness when she was just a few weeks old, if I remember correctly. A doctor applied some pulses to her eyes and it blinded her. And she could not remember sight, of course, at all. And a preacher was talking with her one time. And here's what he said. I think it a great pity that the Master did not give you sight when he showed so many other gifts upon you. He meant well. You know what Fanny Crosby's response was? She said, do you know that if at birth I had been able to make one petition, it would have been that I was born blind. Because when I get to heaven, the first face that shall ever gladden my sight will be that of my Savior. I'm telling you, she could see the light of the Son of God. He is the light of the world. This light is righteousness. This light is truth. This light is the very revelation of heaven. It's as if that the Son of God said, I'm going to open up the door and let you see what's in heaven, and I'm going to bring heaven down to you in myself, and I want you to see that I am the light of the world because I am the very light that came from heaven to this earth to give those in darkness the true light. This world is in contrast to all that's holy and good. In this world, sin is applauded and righteousness is repudiated. Let me illustrate that. In the Vietnam War, there was 58,178 of our servicemen that died in that war. And in Washington, D.C., they have made a wall, a monument to the Vietnam veterans. I've never been there. I've seen pictures of it. And that's good. That's a commendable thing. But did you know that for every one of those soldiers or airmen that died, nearly 1 million babies have been aborted? 58 million babies in the United States from 1973 up until about 2011, add another million for each year thereafter approximately, and you've got 60 million babies. And that's been done with the approval of our government, our Congress, our presidents, and the Supreme Court. Do you realize how many 60 million are? How do we even fathom a number of that magnitude? Well, let me put it like this. If you were to take and make a monument for these babies and allow 1 foot for each baby, 1 foot, that wall would be nearly 1,000 miles long. And if you drove by it at 70 miles an hour, it'd take you 14 hours just to drive by it. That shows the darkness that's in this world. That's just an example. Notice with me in John chapter 1, verse 5. And the light shines in the darkness. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. John here is telling us that this light shines in the darkness. That is, it's here. And the darkness comprehends it not. The darkness of this world does not see the light of the Son of God. It makes no difference. It doesn't see it at all. So dark is this world that it cannot see the light of the Son of God. Now in the third place, let us consider the effect of this light. This light revealed sin for what it is. It is rebellion against God. It is as an individual that takes up arms against the government and tries to put it out of existence. Only this light of the Son of God, can shine in a man's heart and make him recognize what he is by nature. You can never know what you are by nature except by the light of the Son of God shining in your heart. Turn to Romans chapter 3. Romans 3, verse 19. Now we know that what those things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. That's our status by the law of God. But we don't recognize it. We don't believe it until the light of the Son of God floods into our hearts and makes us aware of what we are by nature. No man can see this light until he learns that Jesus Christ is the light. And when we see that, then we realize how dark we are. Turn with me to John chapter 3. Grace leads men to seek him because he is the light of the world. And in John chapter 3, beginning with verse 16, probably the most well-known verse in all the Bible, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he lights up, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believes on him is not condemned, but he that believes not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, now mark this, that light is come into the world and everybody embraced it. No, listen carefully. And men loved darkness rather than light. That's spiritual darkness, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hates the light, neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth, that's what God's light brings us to, is truth, comes to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God. It is the effects then of Jesus Christ as the light of the world that leads men to write, to think, to speak, as Charles Wesley did in his hymn, The True Light. He said, Christ, whose glory fills the skies, Christ the true, the only light, Son of righteousness, arise, triumph o'er the shades of night. Dayspring from on high be near, day star in my heart appear. Dark and cheerless is the morn, unaccompanied by thee. Joyless is the day's return. Joyless is the day's return. Till the mercy's beams I see, till thy inward light impart, glad my eyes and warm my heart. Visit then this soul of mine, pierce the gloom of sin and grief, fill me radiancy divine, scatter all my unbelief, more and more thyself display, shining to the perfect day. That's what we see in Jesus Christ. Now in the fourth place, let me mention the assurance of those who follow Jesus Christ. I want you to note that our Lord says here, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness. There are two aspects to this. There's the present aspect and the future. The first is the present. Shall not walk in darkness. It's a terrible thing to walk in darkness. I've been in places that were so dark. I remember being on the island of Iwo Jima when we landed there as a training. And that island has black sand. The sand is volcanic and it's as black as coal. And we were there, and when it got night, that was a cloudy, it was, if I remember right, it was drizzling rain. You couldn't see your hand in front of your face. I mean, it was so dark that you couldn't see anything. That's the way it is when we recognize the darkness as for what it is. Now notice, he says here, you shall never walk in darkness. You'll never be in darkness. You'll never experience darkness if you follow Jesus Christ, because Jesus is the light of the world. That's like walking at midday with the sun shining on you, and you don't have to take your flashlight with you. Why? Because you got the light of heaven. And so it is with the Lord Jesus Christ. The believer knows that his sins are all gone. But contrast that with the unbeliever. The unbeliever carries his sins with him. He's got the burden on his back. And as Pilgrim was, when he first realized that he was burdened with sin and he tried to get it off, he went to Mount Sinai and got Mr. Legality to try to help him, and that didn't work. And he couldn't get rid of it. He couldn't get it off his back. And do you remember how he got rid of it? He walked down the hill and he saw the cross and the tomb of Jesus Christ. And the burden went off his back and rolled down the hill and went right in that tomb. He never saw it again. But contrast that with the individual that doesn't know Jesus Christ as the light of the world. Still got his sins with him. They're on his back and he can never remove them. The believer knows his sins are all gone forevermore. Why? Because Christ took them with him to the cross. And when he paid for them on the cross, there's no debt. There's no charge. Nobody can ever bring those up to you again. They're gone forever. That's what Jesus Christ, the light of the world, has done, and that's what he reveals. So the believer knows he's saved. Saved from the wrath of hell. He doesn't have to be afraid of hell anymore. Why is that? Because Christ has already suffered everything that hell demanded, and we go free. Never can I be sent to hell as a believer in Jesus Christ. Good friend of mine said a man questioned him about his faith and about whether or not he'd go to hell. He said, if I go to hell, I'm going to go trusting Jesus Christ with every fiber of my body. And no such person will ever be in the lake of fire. The believer has Jesus Christ as the light of the world. And he knows that his sins are forgiven. He's cleansed. You say, but his sins are really high. That doesn't make any difference. The righteousness of Jesus Christ is greater. You say, but they continued for a long time. That doesn't make any difference. Because the righteousness of Jesus Christ took them away, all of them, total. As Samson carried away the gates of the city and threw them over the hill, so Christ carried away all our sins, and we can never bear them again. Then the second part of this is, notice what he says, but shall have the light of life. Do you love life? Oh, yes, we do. We'll do anything we can to preserve our lives. We will suffer pain. We'll have surgery. We'll do anything to preserve our lives. I knew a man who got his arm caught in a hay baler in Arkansas, working alone out in the field. Could not get it out. Was jammed in there. And he'd been there for several hours. And he got his knife out. And he said, I've got no alternative. I'm going to have to cut my arm off. And just at that time, somebody drove by and noticed that bailers had been sitting there a good while and went out there. And he had his knife out. He was willing to cut his arm off. We remember the hiker that got caught in the rocks. And he did cut his arm off to get out. You'll do it to save your life. You do it. Now, the believer has spiritual life. We're not talking about physical life now. Let's move up. That physical life is here. That's what you can touch with your hand. Let's move up to the next level. Spiritual life. Listen to what he says here. They shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. That is, they will understand and know what eternal life is. Turn to John 5 and verse 24. Jesus sets this before us with these terms. John 5, 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my word and believes on him that sent me, that is the light of life, has everlasting life. Don't stop there. Don't you dare put a period in the sentence there. It doesn't stop there. The Holy Spirit continued it. And shall not come into condemnation. You know what that means? There'll never be a day. You take one of God's believers and you look at his record, and there'll never be a day in time or in eternity when he won't be exactly what he was from the very beginning, a believer in Jesus Christ whose sins have been forgiven, who has passed from death into life. And that's what he says. He shall not come into condemnation. Never can be condemned. Nobody can condemn him. The law can't condemn him. The world won't be able to condemn him. Satan can't do it. And God won't do it. But is passed from death unto life. That's assurance. That's what every believer in Jesus Christ had. He's got both the promise that he shall not walk in darkness and that he shall never be condemned. Then let me give you this and I'll close. There's an invitation in this text. Note with me again. John 8:12. I am the light of the world. He that follows me. That's an invitation. He's saying to you, to these and to you, if you follow me. What does he mean by that? He means to believe on him, to trust in him, then to serve him, to do his will. If you follow me, you're going to have these things. Now let me show you that that's the case. This is exactly what happened. Let me turn you back to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, and we'll begin reading in verse 6. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. What was John's purpose? To bear witness of the light that is Jesus Christ. To the end that all men might believe on him. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, that is Jesus Christ, which lights every man that comes into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. He created the world and everything in it. He created the insects, the animals, men. He created angels, created the heavens, the universe. He created it all. He came unto his own, to the Jews, and his own received him not. But as many as received to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. How do men become the sons of God? They believe on his name. The Holy Spirit works in their hearts, and they believe, and they say, that's the truth. That is the light. Jesus is the light of the world. Which were born, not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. When the sun shines, you can see its glory. The glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Therefore, Jesus Christ gives this invitation. Are you walking in darkness? Do you choose darkness over light? You, every day of your life, say, I'm going to go this way. Is it the right way? Is it the way of darkness? Is it going by what you can see and by what you can touch? That's darkness. The only way that you can ever make things right is to come back to the Word of God and submit yourself to what God's Word said. You say, but I can't see with my eyes. Of course not. This is spiritual light. It's impossible to see it with your eyes. You must look to Jesus Christ by faith, not by sight, so that a blind Fanny Crosby could see Jesus Christ, though she never saw a man. Are you living in submission to God, or are you living in rebellion? One or the other. You can't do both. To recognize Jesus Christ as the light of this world is to follow him. And I want you to see that in this chapter, verse 30, some of those that were listening to him believed on him right there that day. As he spake these words, many believed on him. You know what happened there? The light of the gospel, the light of the glory of the Son of God, flowed into their hearts. And it was like walking out of a dark room into bright sunshine. They saw the glory of Jesus Christ. And if you see Jesus Christ as your Savior, the promises that we mentioned belong to you. Jesus is the light of the world. May the Lord help you to see his light.